Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Hello, everyone. This is Lauren Monroe, and welcome to Resiliency Radio. Our show today is about building a resilient society, with a very special guest, Carolyn Baker, who's an adult education and nonprofit expert, who's also on our board, on the Raven Drum Foundation board, and she's the Vice President of Community Development for an amazing organization called Step Up on Second. Now, Step Up on Second has a vision to provide the help, hope, and a home that leads to recovery for individuals, families, and communities affected by mental illness. And as you know, homelessness and mental illness is very correlated. I mean, you see a lot of people who are homeless that have mental issues and that need to be helped. So it's such a worthwhile cause to look into and to talk about today. Carolyn Baker is also a commitment maker in regards to the Clinton Global Initiative. And she's going to talk to us about building a resilient society in the guidelines of the Clinton Global Initiative. And it's really exciting to talk to her and to be able to speak with her on this issue. I have with me a really special co-host, everyone's favorite, Mr. Moon Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Mr. Moon. How are you? So we're missing Rick tonight. Yeah, you sad about that?
Yeah, I am. I am sad about that.
So, Rick, I'm sure you're out there listening to the show. We miss you, and we'll see you on the next episode. But we have Carolyn. I'm going to dial her up here. She's waiting for us so we can talk about resiliency in society. Hang on a second, everybody. We're going to get Carolyn on the line. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm great. I'm sitting here with Moon.
Oh, Moon Calhoun, one of my favorite humans on the planet.
Oh,
how are you?
I'm great. Nice to hear your voice. Back at you. I love
Thanks.
You too, Carolyn. Miss
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I love you. Yeah, I miss you too. I wish our paths crossed more often.
Yes. Maybe they will soon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm here in New York at the Clinton Global Initiative.
Oh.
Well, that's so exciting. We really want to, you know, introduce everybody to you today on talking about building a resilient society. And I know this initiative and the conference has really, you know, highlighted a lot of things that you're doing and that we can incorporate our vision as far as Raven Drum and how to build a resilient society.
Yes, it's exciting. This is the 7th annual Clinton Global Initiative, and the topics are health, poverty, climate change, and education. And there was a subgroup meeting called Clinton Global Initiative America, and one of the big focuses of that meeting was veterans. So there is a lot of overlap and convergence of ideas there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I look forward to talking with you a lot more about it when I get home.
That's amazing. Well, that's great. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm really excited about that. Well, for today's show, you know, it would be great just to highlight, you know, some of the aspects that would define a resilient society, first of all, because when we say
yeah.
that, what does that look like, and, you know, for us?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, a community is a family or a neighborhood or a city, a state, a country, a planet. All of these are communities, and within them, there's all sorts of factors. There's physical and psychological, the environment, emotional, fiscal, these are all the factors in every community. And so when a community has a whole high degree of protective factors that are in place around all of those factors, all of those processes, they help all the members of the community build their coping skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so resiliency is most likely to occur in a community when you have a very high degree of protective factors around those topics. And so when those processes that are healing and protecting they counterbalance all the risk factors or the adversity that the members of a community face. So we're wanting to help members of every community develop whatever special coping skills they need that allows them to bounce back and to that place of well-being, and of course that's resiliency.
Exactly.
So, for example, when a veteran returns home from combat, or anyone who's in a vulnerable state because of trauma, they have physical needs and emotional needs, psychological needs, where they're vulnerable, and there needs to be a counterbalancing for them to deal with those stress factors. And there needs to be an array of equally powerful protective processes mm-hmm. that are in place to help that person develop the coping skills so that they can bounce back. So for the definition that we see for community resiliency, it's really a process rather than a trait.
Yeah. Yeah. And is that setting things up, you know, through individuals or, you know, specific organizations? And are you talking about it while you're there as something, you know, a city or a state would take on? Or?
Well, it's seen as whatever community you happen to be in. That's the real message of the Clinton Global Initiative, is that every single person has a role to play. And in your personal family, in your personal neighborhood, my community, that my role is to participate in healing and sustaining all the members, myself included. So when the community, whatever community it is, when the community gets it, that is part of its role, then we participate in whatever piece of that pie we are removed to participate in. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Raven Drum Foundation is participating in the healing and the building of coping skills for the wounded warriors. Step Up on Second, the agency that I'm also involved with, in addition to being on the board with Raven Drum Foundation, another piece of the pie is we are attending to those veterans who are chronically homeless, mm-hmm. who need to get supportive services around them and who need to get housing. So these are specific pieces of the pie. And then another group takes on their piece of the pie and some other aspects such as financial wellness, emotional wellness, psychological. Everyone in the community has strength to bring to build that community around the members so that all the members are healed and sustained. Mm-hmm. That even means the business community. There's a shift that we're seeing here, which is that it's good. If it's good for business, it must also be good for the community. And if it's good for the community, it must also be good for business.
Right.
Because that brings an economic power to it. And that's really how you sell it to the community at large, is that it makes financial sense.
Right.
So these are all the pieces that build in for sustainability. And so here at CGI, there's a lot of discussion about resiliency and sustainability as processes to build into everything we do, which is a shift in, it's not a system shift, it's a values shift, becoming
mm-hmm. yeah.
more humane, you know, and that's a very big deal. And that's what's exciting about what the roots of the Clinton Global Initiative is, that it really can't be done by government because it's too politicized and slow and contentious. Where it's really going to happen is in the neighborhoods, in the mm-hmm. civil society. And that's what everyone here has made a commitment to, a specific action. For example, Step Up on Second, our commitment to action is to bring 200 units of permanent supportive housing to people that are chronically homeless in Hollywood by 2014.
Wow.
So of those chronically homeless individuals, 40% of them are vets.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so that's our piece of the pie that we've committed to in front of the whole world, that we are going to get that done by 2014.
What kind of things can the average family, individual in the family do? Like what beginning kind of steps can an average person in a family do, like the small guy?
Yes, and that's where it begins, right?
Right.
That the first beginning is that it has to be unacceptable for there to be denial.
Mm.
So in our own heart and mind, we can't be in denial about the things that are not working in our neighborhoods and in our families. So there has to be two things. We have to have the faith to know that things are going to get better and we're going to make it through, whether we have financial hardships or emotional stress or psychological issues. Whatever it is, we have to have the faith that we're going to make it through. Mm. The other half of that, the other side of that same coin, is to face the brutal facts and do what must be done.
Mm.
So let's say in my own life that I go to the doctor and they say, you know, you need to get on a better exercise program. You're not getting enough exercise. Then I might say, yes, I know and I believe that theoretically, but there's a big space between thought and action. And turning an idea into an action is what we all need to do about whatever it is we care about. So specifically, if in your own circle of friends or your own neighborhood, my own neighborhood, there's causes. For example, if I cared about the overpopulation of dogs and cats that are running in my street, I get involved with my Humane Society. Or I would identify that I really think education for children is what's woefully lacking, then I maybe would volunteer in a school, or I would do the best, I'd become the best parent by taking a parenting class, or whatever it is.
Right. That's relative.
In terms of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to relative to your own heart and mind, because we each are built a certain way to care about certain things. And whatever it is that moves you, you know, it is about being right or wrong, it's really about taking action. And that's one of the roots of CGI, is that the only thing that really matters is taking action towards something that you care about.
Yeah.
And moving it from being theoretical into being a plan. Like, hope isn't a plan. You know, there really needs to be a measurable goal and energy and action taken towards it.
Right.
So that's pretty much the call to action for all of us. Is to find out what it is that's moving us and participate. And then in that also, it isn't that, it's give and take. We also receive healing by being in the community, and that's where healing is for all of us and sustenance is for all of us, because there's so much interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
That it is good for us to, it's a give and take. We give and receive.
Just by showing up, we receive. Just by setting that goal and showing up, we receive.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
You know, as we're talking about this, I'm really thinking about a lot about our youth. And, you know, there's a mixed bag of experiences that I have in seeing our youth. And some are so inspirational with, you know, young teenagers and kids 10 years old that are so active in making change in their communities and so alive with hope and inspiration. And then there's so many others that are really driven by the television and what the television says in the media, and you know, they're in front of their Xboxes and there is no involvement at all. And of course that comes from the home and parenting, but it makes me want to ask the question, you know, what stands in the way of this, you know, goal coming to fruition? And it's a long-term change to me. I really feel like changing consciousness is what we're talking about. And how do we begin to do that with our youth and with our children so that the next generation will have it already ingrained in them, and this is how we are in society?
That's such a great question, Lauren. And it's a complex one, but I would offer something that is perhaps a simplistic view, but what drives a lot of the culture for the young people is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And a marketing drives behavior. Mm-hmm. When we see everything as this is the thing to do, then that's what we do.
Right.
So it's very, very powerful. And oddly enough, let's say that Raven Drum Foundation, Step Up on Second, these organizations are like great ships and they're out there in the sea. But what's going to be the wind that unfurls the sails and really moves it forward to really accomplish great things? The wind has got to be the business sector. The wind has got to be economics. So the reason that all of the behavior we see is driven by marketing for sales of products.
Yeah.
So if it becomes that, for example, what I'm excited to see here is a transformation about the way businesses see the involvement with nonprofits. For example, in the old days, it was this thing called corporate philanthropy. A business gives a percentage of their gross profits from whatever widgets they sold to a nonprofit. But that's really changing. And what we're seeing now is a partnership with a for-profit, with a nonprofit, as part of the company's business practice, because it's good for business and it's driving economic growth. In other words, it's good for the community and it's good for the business.
Right.
So, for an example, I just this morning I was in a session and I heard a group of the teachers union. They have an investment fund and they decided to take 8% of the investment fund and get in a partnership with a utility company, and they use the money to say, here, we're going to pay for bringing in solar power to this whole neighborhood.
Wow.
It's going to be carbon neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And the way those investors are going to get paid back is from the utility company.
Mm.
The savings on the bill will go directly back to those investors.
That's brilliant. That's
yeah.
the way it should be. That's
yeah.
This is the way
yeah.
it should be.
Awesome.
So you can see how
yeah.
this creates a win-win for everybody. Now, let's say that a company decides that it's going to manufacture toys. For example, there's a woman here who manufactures a soccer ball. And when you kick a soccer ball, it generates energy within the soccer ball with a little gyro mechanism like a wind-up radio that they sometimes have that you can use in case you don't have power, like when you're camping. There's one of those mechanisms inside the soccer ball. The kids kick it around, and then they can charge up their electronic
thing. That is so brilliant. I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they're beginning to bring in as a portion of the business, the company's business practice, because now they can say that they do this in alignment with sustainability. So it's a shift, and as more companies commit to that value shift, then it changes the way everything is done, and the values begin to get translated through marketing, which is very powerful. That's what we're all paying attention to, is marketing.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's interesting, that's what unites us. That's what unites the nonprofit sector with the for-profit sector, is, oddly enough, marketing.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
that,
it used to be religion.
Yeah.
That was marketing.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Because, what you know, things are what we say they are.
Yeah, right.
And so if we're saying that it is really fun mm-hmm. and really profitable to have a resilient and sustainable community, it becomes that. And it's consumer-driven because we like it. And we begin to be transformed as citizens, as companies, as utilities. It becomes mm-hmm. transformative to everybody. So it's you raise a really good question, and it's a big ship to turn around. But here at CGI, I have really seen it in action. The companies that are here, the inventors that are here, the villages that are here, this is translated not just in, you know, American culture that's quite urban, but in small villages in Burma. And it has application based on whatever community you're in. It gets rolled out in an application that's relevant.
This is fantastic. I wish I was there.
I do, too. We got to work on that for next year.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're going to come back with so much information, and I'm sure you're meeting just some really amazing people. And
yes, Desmond Tutu. I heard him speak yesterday, President Clinton,
wow.
President Obama, the Rich Fedrizzi of the U.S. Green Buildings Council. It's all the people that are decision makers, and plus all the committed people that just want to really do their best while they're here on the planet for themselves and their neighbors, their families. And I heard one person in the meeting this morning, and we were going around introducing ourselves, and he's the head of a major Fortune 10 company, and he introduced himself by saying, "Hi, I'm Bob, and I'm the father of Samantha and Zach." And he said, "I just want to say that first and foremost," you know, and that shift to saying what really matters in our life is more than just gross profit.
Yeah.
And I'm a new grandmother and you're a new mom, and we really feel that it's so precious, and to do such a good job as stewards for not only ourselves but the next generation, and to help the next generation really have be good stewards too, and do better than we did. Because it's really not an option. It's not up for, you know, hope this works. It's got to work that we get this right.
This is so fascinating. This just brings my inspiration just up to another level, just hearing that this is going on and that you're there. And I hope everyone that's listening can really take this away into their lives and think about it and think how, you know, even on a very small level and on a big level, how we can not only change our thinking but change our action. And just, you know, for those of you at home, just let's all, you know, keep this in our intention that all of the goals and the action being developed at this conference really comes into fruition during our lifetime. I think it's just it's magical and it's the right thing. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Carolyn.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for your action with Raise and Drum Foundation. You are the real deal, and you're building a resilient and sustainable community. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
And we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. That was such a fascinating interview. I hope you all enjoyed it. I mean, wasn't that amazing?
It was awesome. She's wonderful.
There's so much information that you know, that's out there. People with such innovative ideas to bring our community together. I hope that we all do a little bit of research to see how we can be a part. Now, there's two different websites I want to call out to, and of course, it's going to be on the Raven Drum Resiliency Radio page. On the ravendrumfoundation.org. You can also go directly to the clintonglobalinitiative.org or go to stepuponsecond.org. That's STEPUPON second, SECOND.org. That'll take you to the two websites that we were talking about on the show. Now, we're going to end the show tonight with some drumming. Now, we're not going to be doing it live for you, but it's a good way for us to introduce to you the Raven Drum Circle CD, which, of course, Moon was on, and I was, and Rick, and some other really wonderful percussionists.
Right.
So you'll be hearing Bringing in the Light, and also we'll start it off with the meditation for you to get grounded and lead you into a rhythm. And then it'll be ending with a meditation and a visualization. So if you're at home and you have an instrument, you know, please participate along with the recording, and then take time to really relax and receive the benefits of the meditation at the end. And of course, during this time, really focus your energy on resiliency in your own community, in your own society, in your own life, and you will reap the rewards of all the work. And if you do like the CD, you like what you hear, you can always get a copy. Go to ravendrumfoundation.org and bring it home with you. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Right on.
Thanks, everybody.
Keep on dancing.
Bringing in the Light. Remain still and place your hands over your heart. With your mind's eye, begin to see your inner landscape, your spirit, your internal body, your heart itself, free from the heavy energy that's been released. See with your mind's eye these spaces now cleared and open, waiting to be filled with light and healing life force. Listen closely to your inner voice and ask yourself, what do I need in my life in order to have true happiness? What do I want to help me feel whole and at peace with myself and the world? What do I need to be healed? Listen to your heart your inner voice, and at this very moment, give yourself permission to receive all you need. Know that these gifts already belong to you and are waiting to be opened. They're already yours. As we enter this next rhythm, we will be setting our intentions and bringing in their light for ourselves, for each other, for our families and communities around the world. Allow your heart to guide you and reveal radiant pictures. Embrace every image and thought as gifts to be opened. Remember, they are already yours. They have already been given to you and are waiting to be opened. Say your intentions in your mind. Whisper them out loud. Call them out. See them in front of you. See them above you. And visualize their radiant light shining within your very cells, surrounding all pain and suffering. Breathe deeply and receive. close your eyes and be in stillness. Allow light to radiate inside of every particle of your being, and be in gratitude for this moment. Love is here. Peace is here. Healing is here within our very cell tissue. We are expanding in light and in gratitude. Allow all healing intentions and radiant light energies to deepen within you. Visualize this light expanding from every cell of your being. Breathe. Open your eyes, taking all that is around you with gratitude. Be in gratitude for this very moment, and for all that you have released and received. We are now prepared for the healing phase of consciously receiving grace. Take time to slowly stretch and change your position, keeping your intention in a place of compassion and gratitude. Stay in the moment. Please move all instruments away from your physical body and place them towards the center of the circle or to the side of you. You may take this time to carefully lie down or remain in a rested seated position with your feet on the floor, or sit in a cross-legged position. Allow your hands to rest comfortably on your body or in your lap, with your palms open and facing upward. In this very moment, we welcome the grace of divine love into our hearts, flowing through us like music, like gentle water. The air is filled with the grace and intelligence of divine love. As we breathe, we are one with its kind and loving presence. We are healed by its compassion. Place your hands over your heart and begin to experience the color violet. Allow it to emerge on its own, slowly coming from above you, within you, and around you. See the different shades. Experience the color violet. taste the color violet. Inhale its smell through every cell of your being. And allow your awareness to embrace its pure and loving energy. The divine presence of grace. This presence will continue to hold you and heal you. Rest and breathe deeply. Our time together is now coming to a close. Thank you for being a part of the Raven Drum Circle and for sharing this healing experience with us. Remain in this deep, relaxed place for as long as possible and continue to receive healing. Rest deeply and know that you are deeply loved. Thank you.